Gary Thompson, and I'm with Randy Abrams, and this is the Malware Report. Randy, Julie Amaro has been in the news quite a bit, the substitute teacher who has been convicted as a result of revealing porn in her classroom. What do you think, what's at the bottom of this? Tell me a little bit more about what happened.
Well, Julie Amaro is a substitute teacher. She was 38 years old, I believe about 4 months pregnant on the day that she went into the school to substitute teach. And all evidence would show that a computer that had essentially no security software protection whatsoever on the desktop or network level had accessed a relatively innocent-looking website that resulted in adware that displayed pop-up pornography. And from there, when parents found out that their kids were exposed to pornographic images, they went ballistic and demanded a head, and the whole system collapsed.
Well, I can understand as a parent myself that I would be very upset over this, but, you know, who's really at fault here?
Well, I mean, ultimately, the people putting pornographic pop-ups on websites are at fault. However, the school district clearly failed in their responsibility to protect their employees and the students from this kind of offensive material. They had filtering software that was required for a certain type of funding by a federal act, but they let the filtering software expire, apparently because they didn't pay their bill. Now, that can be an administrative oversight. However, the IT person really, you know, 4 months, you ought to be knocking on the door every morning saying, when do I get my filtering software? There's a problem that can happen. So there's a big part of the problem. Contributing factors, the substitute teacher didn't really know anything about computers, and in today's environment, it's very helpful to have some computer literacy. Also, the Connecticut prosecutor's office, they should have had a prosecutor that had at least a little bit of technical expertise in dealing with a technical case. The prosecutor was quoted as saying that he didn't expect a pop-up defense, which was the obvious explanation for what happened. So he truly wasn't able to fulfill his oath to pursue justice when he lacked the skills to really approach the case. Not that he was not trying to, but he just was technically, from an educational standpoint, technically unable to. And then the police officer that was called as an expert witness actually does not appear to have the kind of expertise that was appropriate in this case. Again, the prosecutor didn't know what would constitute an expert in this case, and even the police officer himself probably thought he was better qualified than he was and completely misinterpreted some key evidence.
Well, you know, I'm surprised, frankly, with the federal regulations that are out there, the CIPA Act, which is the Child Information Protection Act, that really says any school receiving federal funding must have web filtering in place. I'm a little surprised that the defense attorney didn't know this and that at least incorporate the school as partially culpable. It certainly leaves this poor woman isolated when they're clearly are other people who are at fault. What's been the response from – I know you talked at one point to the Center for Safe and Responsible Internet Use. What's been their response?
Well, Nancy Willard, who's with the Center for Safe and Responsible Internet Use, upon investigating this case said, and I quote, "Henceforth, all teachers in the state of Connecticut should be forewarned. If at any point in time your district's technology protection system fails and a pornographic image appears on a computer screen in your vicinity, you're at high risk for arrest and conviction." And I think that's a pretty fair warning. I do believe in this case there were several significant errors that the defense attorney made that could well have changed the tide of the case. But this is a case that really never should have gone to court.
Well, what are the lessons that can be learned? My daughter teaches school, middle school, as it turns out, and my son-in-law is a substitute teacher. So both of them are at risk. What lessons can be learned? What should people do as a result of this, especially if you're a parent or an IT manager or a teacher?
Well, you know, when you get into a car, which I love using cars as analogies, and you haven't driven that car before, it's always a really good idea to find out where the headlights are, find out where the windshield wiper is, stuff like that. I recommend that you find out where the power button on the computer monitor is. Now, this does presuppose that you understand that turning off a computer monitor is not the same thing as turning off a computer, which you do need that level of knowledge, but be ready to turn off the computer monitor if something happens. You don't have to pull the plug on the computer. All you need to do is stop the display of the images. And as obvious as this seems to sound, none of the teachers that Amaro asked for help that day thought to mention that.
That's amazing. I would imagine that one of the things parents should be considering is the possibility of writing in to make sure that their schools and their school districts are compliant, because clearly the parents involved in this case were understandably upset with the fact that their children had seen what they saw during during class. But as a parent, I think, isn't part of their responsibility also to contact the school or the school district and cite this case and suggest that they need to be vigilant in keeping their bills paid?
Well, parents certainly can do that and should expect that their districts are doing that. In this particular case, it's just been amazing how strongly the school board and school district and principal have worked to try to pin the blame on someone else, and the quotes they have are just phenomenal. I don't think that in Norwich the parents are going to get a straightforward answer from their school district.
Well, let's assume for a moment that the judicial they would have an interest in learning more about this. Let's say I'm a defense attorney and I see this case and say, boy, I'd like to know more about technology and how it works. Where would you send someone to learn more about either antivirus or spam in general or just this whole issue of pornography on the web?
You know, I think probably what I would recommend is start with your own antivirus vendor and send them an email and say, I want to learn more about this. Can you help me? Most antivirus companies have a variety of outreach programs or educational experts that would be delighted to put the person in touch. And it's going to vary to some extent on who's asking. If a prosecutor is emailing me and asking me how can he learn more, I'm going to dig up some FBI references that have specific relevant training, and the FBI does have this, and point them in that direction so that they get the proper training. For a school teacher, there's other kinds of more general type information that are very appropriate and help them become better educated about computer security.
And where would they contact you?
They can contact me at askeset@eset.com, and listeners are encouraged to contact us with any questions or comments that they have.
Well, this has been a very eye-opening experience for me. I think it's certainly a warning to teachers out there across the country and a wake-up call perhaps to the IT managers who also need to take some action, which reminds me, if you were an IT manager in a school and you were aware of the fact that the subscription had lapsed or perhaps the school was not paying on time, what action would you take to bring this to their attention?
I would certainly document it in email and archive and keep copies of the email away out of the school, because I definitely want to save that as evidence going forward that I was doing due diligence as my responsibility. I mean, the one time a virus got past me at Microsoft when my job was to make sure that no products shipped infected, my management came to me and asked how it could happen, and I dug up a 3-month-old email saying, here, I asked you for help and you wouldn't give it to me, and it actually applied directly to that type of incident. So it's the old CYA cover, you know. Make sure that you got a document trail showing that you were doing the right thing.
That sounds like terrific advice, and I think that it was probably fortunate the IT manager didn't get caught up in this legal action. So I think taking that response would be taking your advice in that response sounds like it makes a lot of sense. Well, thanks again, Randy, for joining us. And if any of our listeners have questions again, remember ask ESET@ESET.com, and we'll talk to you again next week. This has been the Malware Report.